we're at the beginning of Masechta Brachos, and we're going to focus on a few elements that require a little bit more study. I mean, Masechta Brachos, and especially the first part about Kriyat Shema, is so broad. There are so many topics that have to be studied, the Iyun, especially with regard to Kriyat Shema. You can talk about whether Kriyat Shema is Doraisa, Darabanan, whether it's the first pasuk that's Doraisa, the first parasha, the second parasha as well is Doraisa, the third parasha, which parasha is a Doraisa, whether the mitzvah is Kriya, whether the mitzvah is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. You can talk about Kavana in Kriyat Shema, whether Kavana in Kriyat Shema is absolutely critical. You can talk about Shomea Ka'ona, whether I could be Motzi you in Kriyat Shema. There are a million different issues in Kriyat Shema. I'm going to leave that for another time. My Rebbe wrote an entire kudris on the laws of Kriyat Shema. But what I want to study with you now is a Gemara about Kohanim. Now for this, I need a Rambam Hilchus Mechusrei Kapara. I wonder if, John, I can trouble you to bring that in, if you can. And Mechusrei Kapara. Till you find the Rambam, I'll just review quickly what the Gemara has to say, if you recall. The Gemara, based on the Mishnah identifies that the earliest time for Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis is when the Kohanim eat their Truma. And that's identified as Seisa Kochav, although if we get a chance we'll talk about other Shitos, that maybe it's not exactly Seisa Kochav, maybe it could be a little earlier, possibly even a little later. But if we assume that it's Seisa Kochav, that's the moment that a Kohen who is Tomei, and he underwent Tara during that day, meaning it was the eighth, let's say it was the seventh day of his Ziva, right, a Zav, is Tomei for 7 days, if he had three consecutive Zivas on 3 days, and now he has to count Zayin Nikiyim. Now after the 7 days, he goes to Mikvah on the seventh day, and similar halacha is applied to a Mitzora. And after that,
large print.
Thank you, he has what's called Harev Shemesh. So the sun sets, and the Mishnah establishes here that at that point he can eat truma. Correct? So if that be the case, then what was the Hava Mina? The Gemara has a whole Hava Mina here that when the Pasuk says, and here we need a Chumash, I think I had a Chumash in Vayikra, I don't know. If you could open up, it's probably underneath this, but in Vayikra, Perek Chav Beis, it says, Uba Hashemesh V'taher V'achar Yochal Min HaKadoshim. And Uba Hashemesh V'taher, the Gemara interprets it as Bias Shimsho, which means that once the day, let's say the sun sets, then he can eat Truma. Until the sun sets, he's still Tomei. It's the seventh day of his Tuma, and he cannot eat Truma. Tomei, who eats Truma, assuming the Truma is the Truma Tahora, violates an Isur Chamur. But after Harev Shemesh, after the sun sets, he's allowed to eat Truma. You remember this, right? Okay, stop me if I'm mentioning things that you don't know. So the Gemara says, Umimai. How do we know that this is so? So this you'll see on Daf Bezom and Aleph, if you count up, let's say, what is it? Actually, it's the last line, the very last line. Umimai. How do we know the high Uba Shemesh, that this phrase, Uba Shemesh, refers to Bias HaShemesh, to sunset, V'hai V'toher, and then the Pasuk says, V'toher is She'toher Yoma. Now let's explain what the Gemara means by Toher Yoma. The day ends with Shkias HaChama, with sunset, but there's a period of time between sunset and Seisa Kochavim, and that's called Bein HaShmashos. Now, exactly how long of a period of time that is a gigantic sugya mesechta Shabbos. But let's assume, like Rabbi Yehuda, that we're talking about chatzi meal. The many different shitas, the gross shitas, three quarters of a meal, whatever it is, it's a certain period of time, we'll call it 20 minutes, whatever it might be, between shkia and seis. So the Torah adds the word v'tayer as referring to tar yoma. Tar yoma means that we're completely finished with some state of being that existed previously. What was the state of being that existed previously until we get to tar yoma? It was yom. In other words, the transition between yom and laila, it's not sufficient to have bias shemesh, but you also require tar yoma, which means that we have to wait a few more minutes until tseis hakochavim. That's the final termination of the day. And the Gemara is going to derive this from Psukim in Tanakh, that for example, if you have a day laborer, then he works from the morning until the end of the day, which is tseis hakochavim. So now the Gemara offers another possibility, and we're going to turn now to Daf Beis Amid Beis, Dilma perhaps, Bias Orohu. Rashi interprets Bias Oro as Zrichas Hachama, when the sun rises in the morning. That's called Bias Oro. Zrichas Hashemesh is Bias Oro, says Rashi. Tosus has a problem with that, but let's leave out Tosus now. And then v'toyer is toyer gavra. And Rashi interprets that toyer gavra is a reference to the karbonos. Now, in order to appreciate what we mean here by karbonos, we'll open up a Rambam here to Hilchos Mechusrei Kapara, which is in Sefer Karbonos of the Rambam. Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam writes, Arboa heim hanikroi Mechusrei Kapara, azov. So again, two out of four are female. Let's focus for the time being on a Kohen, who's a male. So he's either a Zav or a Mitzora. And for Lama Nikru Mechusrei Kapar, the word Kapara specifically means a carbon. Kapar is synonymous with a carbon, a Ritzi carbon. Shekol Echad Meyam Afal Pisha Toyer Mitum Aso. Each one of these four categories of Tmeyim, even though he or she has undergone every step of the way, they could count it Zayin Nikiyim, Vitoval, and there was Tvila, there's no longer Dam, or Ziva, the Herif Shimsho, and the sun is set. Adayin hu chaser v'lo gomra taroso kidei lechol b'kodshim. He cannot eat kodshim, or she cannot eat kodshim. Ad sheyavi karbano v'kodem sheyavi karparoso osu lechol b'kodshim. Now this is fascinating. The Rambam is saying that Lo gomra taroso, that the tara is incomplete. So, you know, he's got already be a shimsho. The sun is already set. Let's say the stars have come out. The day is over, it's past. So the Rambam says, no, lo gomra taroso. He's still not in a complete state of tara. He needs another state of Tara, an expanded or upgraded state of Tara, in order to permit him to eat Kodshim. And when does he achieve the full-fledged state of absolute Tara to eat Kodshim? When he brings his Karbon. Achiyavi Karbono. Do you want to see it inside? I should have photocopied it for you. Here, take a look. I need the Rama back, though. Okay.
I have one
here. Oh. Okay, you want to see it inside, Ruby? Pass it around. Now, I don't understand. The Gemara is now saying that Uba Shemesh, Dilma, perhaps, it means Bias Oro, which means Zrichas HaShemesh. Well, is Rikas HaShemesh enough to allow Mechusa Kaparat to eat Kodshim? Let's assume for one moment that Truma and Kodshim have the same din. Right? The Torah says in the Pasuk, Uba HaShemesh V'toyer V'achach Yochal Min HaKodshim. And Kodshim certainly includes includes truma, correct? Truma is a din of kodesh. And you need uba hashemesh, zrichas hashemesh. Why? Because he's a zav or he's a mitzora? That doesn't make any sense. We saw that a zav mitzora is called mechusar kapara. So it's not just that he's mechusar bias oro, zrichas hashemesh. Oh, says the Gemara, but then it says v'toher, my v'toher, toher gavra, which means he brought his karbon, then he's allowed to eat kachim, and then he'll eat the truma. That's the havamina. So the Gemara now goes through an entire pilpul to prove that the word v'toher does not mean that he brought his karbon, because otherwise it should have said v'yitaher. V'toher is in the language of passivity. It became tahar. Whereas if you want to talk about doing something active in order to achieve gmar taharoso, then it's got to be v'yitaher. He has to be mitaher himself. So the Gemara has a linguistic diuk from the pasuk that the Lashon HaMikra indicates that we're not talking about Bias Oro and Tar Gavra, because Tar Gavra implies what kind of situation, Rabosai? Active or passive? What does Tar Gavra mean? Active, he has to bring his karbon. Nein, if it would have wanted to indicate that he's actively bringing his karbon to achieve Tara, then it should have said v'yitar, and he will be mitar himself. How will he be mitar himself? After v'yisora, he'll bring his karbon.
He has to eat it too.
Say it again?
He has to eat it too.
To eat what? Eat the karbon?
No.
Oh, I didn't say that.
The kohen has to eat the truma.
Well, you're talking about the mitzvah of kohen to eat truma? Is that what are we talking about?
The last line here. The parish there, shakapara, ma'akabet et achilat et truma.
What are you reading? You just read a line, and I don't know where you were reading from.
The Tahar Gavra.
Are you reading a line from the Gemara or
from
the commentary?
From Rashi.
Let's call it the commentary, there, right? So he says, "Mutal al adam lahavi es karbonosav v'rak achem mikanu muta b'truma." Are we on the same page?
Yes.
And if that be the case, then he cannot eat truma until what? He's actively tar gavra, which means he has to bring what? His karbon. So how can you tell me already at nightfall the night before, when the Beis HaMikdash is closed for business, there's no way that he can bring his karbon until daybreak the next morning? He's already in a situation, in a status where he can eat truma. How is that possible? The Torah requires tar gavra. And that follows with Zrichas HaShemesh, which means Bias Oro. And Tar Gavra means when he actively brings his karbon. Then and only then he's allowed to eat his truma. How can the Mishnah say that he's allowed to eat his truma with Bias Oro? Which again, Vitar means we have to wait till the entire, the last snip of the day has completely elapsed, which means we have to wait until Tzeisa Kochavim, but then he's allowed to eat truma. What do you mean? The Torah is talking not about Bias Shemesh in the evening, but rather Bias Oro in the morning when the sun breaks, when we have sunrise. And then at that point, Vitar means he's got to be Mitar himself by bringing his karmon. So he can't eat Truma until he's Mitar Gavra. So the Gemara goes through an entire pilpul here to prove that the word Vitar means not Tar Gavra, but Tar Yoma. It's not an active pursuit of Tara, but rather it's a passive pursuit of Tara. With the passage of time, he becomes Tar. So far, so good? So that's a summary of the sugya, but Rabosa, I have a problem now. I don't understand how we're going to read the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that Uba Hashemesh V'Toher V'Achar Yochal Min HaKodshim. Well, when is a mitzora or a zav allowed to eat kodshim, Rabosai?
Only after the karbon.
Only after he brings the karbon. So how can you tell me that Ubaya Shemesh Vitara means Bias Shemesh in the sense of Shkia and Vitara Tar Yoma in the sense of Seisa Kochavim and then Viacha Yocham and Akachim? He can't eat Kachim until he completes his Tara. And his Tara depends upon his bringing of a Karman. So again, you may have a very solid argument here that linguistically, in terms of the structure of the Torah, you have a beautiful diuk to prove that the Kohen is already allowed to eat Kachim with a Shkia plus B, Tseis HaKochavim, Pashemesh Vitoyer. But then you're going to come to the conclusion that when the Pasuk says, V'achar Yocham in a Kachim, that means that he's already allowed to eat Kachim with Tseis HaKochavim before he brings his Karban. But we're talking about a Mechusa Kapara. The Pasuk is talking about a Mechusa Kapara, a Zav and a Mitzora. And a Zav and Mitzora, the Rambam says, he's not allowed to eat Kachim until he brings his Karban. So Rav Osa, you see one thing. What do you have to conclude from this question of mine? What's the mathematical conclusion that you have to derive? Hello, anybody home? What does V'achkach Yocham and Akadshim mean in the Pasuk? No. Again, it says Uba Hashemesh V'taher, V'taher, V'achar Yocham and Akadshim.
It's referring to Truma.
Exactly. Beautiful. That the word kachim here in this pasuk is not referring to kachim mizbeach, but rather it's referring to truma. So we now have two categories of kachim. We have the most far-reaching and profound kind of kachim, which means kachim mizbeach, and then we have something called truma. Does anybody know what is the status of truma? Anybody know the name that we give truma? It's not kachim mizbeach, because truma doesn't require mizbeach. It's kachim gvul, which means that you're allowed to eat truma anywhere on the face of the earth. Again, there are isurim and rabbanan about taking truma to chutz laretz because avira the akum, but truma doesn't require the mizbeach. It's not kachim mizbeach. It's kachim gvul. And in this particular pasuk, V'achar Yocham and Akadshim, we have to understand, it's not that Berzon discovered America, I'm just this is just a simple pshat, that the word Kadshim is referring to what? To Truma. So now Rabosa, it comes out that I don't have to be a brisker to say that there are Tzvei Dinim, there are two Dinim here. There's one Din of Tara for Kodshei Gvul, and there's another level of Tara, a higher standard of Tara, for Kodshei Mizbeach. As far as Kodshei Gvul is concerned, I eat Truma, how much of a Tara do I need? I need Tvila, I need Bias Shemesh, I need Seis HaKochavim, and that's it. And now, we're at the end of the seventh day, and the Zav and the Mitzora are permitted, this coin is permitted to eat Truma, Kodshei Gvul. But, says the Rambam, as far as the ultimate complete Tara is concerned, then we need what's called Kapara. And that means he's got to bring his Karban. He can only bring his Karban on the eighth day, meaning the next morning. And then after he brings his Karban, then he's allowed to eat Kodshei Mizbeach, because then he's achieved his tar. Now, Rabosai, there is another way of interpreting this Rambam. It could be that the karban that the Mechusa Kapara, the Zav or the Mitzor brings on the eighth day, is what you call a Chovas Gavra. He's obligated to bring a karban. And the Torah wants to emphasize that until he brings his karban, he hasn't completed his obligation, and we're going to keep him away from the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to keep him away from eating kodshim. However, I'd like to try to prove to you that that's not pshat in Mechusa Kapara. Mechusa Kapara doesn't just mean that he has a Chovas Gavra to bring the Karban, and if he doesn't bring the Karban, we're going to tell him that he's not allowed to eat Kodshim. No. Let's read the next Rambam. The Rambam says the following. Now, just by way of introduction, the Rambam has four categories of Mechusa Kapora, and now the Rambam is going to ask a kasha on himself. L'chor, there's a fifth category. Now, what is that fifth? Who belongs to that fifth category? In order for a non-Jew to undergo gerus, he needs the following. Mila, if he's male. Tvila and a mikvah, for both male and female. And a carbon. That's called carbon ager. If the ger has not brought his carbon, let's say he underwent Mila and Tvila, but he hasn't yet brought his carbon, then the law is he's not allowed to eat kodshim. L'chora, that puts ger into the category of what? Mechusa kapara. Is everybody with me? Mechusa kapara means that until you bring your carbon, you're not allowed to eat kodshim. We had four such categories. Now the Rambam is asking there should be a fifth category. Another category of someone who, until he brings his carbon, is excluded from achilas kodshim, and that's going to be a ger. Zok de Rambam, af al pishu osur lechol bekodshim ad sheyovi karbono eino michmi mechusrei kapara. Don't make this mistake, which is one Tana actually held that ger, shemol v'toval, is also included in the list of mechusrei kapara. I think that was Rabbeinu Yaakov, if I'm not mistaken, in the Mishnah in Krisus. If somebody could open up a Mishnah in Krisus, otherwise, it's not important. So Rambam says, "Eino mechusrei kapara." Why not? Zok de Rambam. Shekarbono ikvo. Ikvo means holds him back. Milios ger gomur. The Leos can call Kshere Yisrael if they say in Ochel Bekodshim. Shadayin, he's not a ger gomur. Vilonasa Kshere Yisrael. Vidafka only came on Sheyavi Karparasa when he brings his carbon. Via Asa Yisrael Kosher, he comes a full fledged Jew. Is then Ochel Bekodshim. This is an amazing Rambam. The Rambam is telling us that Mechusar Kapara means that the carbon is necessary to clinch what? Rabosai. It's the final clincher of Tara. That's Mechusar Kapara. In the case of a ger, the carbon is the final clincher to achieve what? Kiddushas Yisrael Gerus. It has nothing to do with Tara. So the Rambam clearly defines the difference between Mechusa Kapara and Ger Shalohevius Karbana. If the Ger hasn't brought his Karban yet, then his Gerus is incomplete. Eino Ger Gomer, the Rambam says, Leos can call Sheri Yisrael. Only a Ger Gomer is allowed to eat Kodshim. That has nothing to do with Mechusa Kapara. Mechusa Kapara can't eat Kodshim because he hasn't completed his Tara process. That as far as Kodshim is concerned, he's considered Tomei. Now how can I prove to you that the Karban Ager is the clincher in Gerus? The Gemara says in Krisus, I believe it's on Daf Tesom and Aleph, that Elameata lo nekabli gerim. What does he mean, me'ato with an ayin? Lo nekabli gerim. Now that what?
There's no
Beis HaMikdash and there's no gerus. So the Gemara has to quote a special Yitura de Cross, special drasha, to be marbe that even Bizman has said we can accept gerim without what? Without a karbon. What was the Hava mean of the Gemara that we could not accept a Ger Bizman Azeh? It's because his Gerus would be incomplete. It's an all or nothing proposition. Either you accept a non-Jew and you Megayer him the full, you know, the full 100 yards, you know what I mean, from Efes to 100% Gerus, or drop the ball. Don't bother getting involved in an incomplete gerus. And the Shita Megubetzes at the beginning of the second parak of Krisus says that a ger who doesn't bring a karbon is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. again, you see that the kapara, that the gerus is incomplete. It's kedushas Yisrael is incomplete, and that's what the Rambam means. Eino ger gamur. And since he's eino ger gamur, kol ksheri Yisrael, he doesn't have the kedusha of a Yisrael to eat kodshim, and therefore he's also a kodshim. That's not what mechusa kapara is. And now we go back to the Rambam in Halacha Aleph, and the Rambam says shekol echad mehem, all these four categories of mechusa kapara. Afal pisha toyer mitumasa v'tovel v'erev shimsho adayin chaser v'lo gomra taroso kidei lechol b'kodshim at sheyovi karbonu. He needs his karbon, says the Rambam, to be gomer his taro. It's really a fascinating tzvei dina, because as far as truma is concerned, when is his taro complete and he's allowed to eat truma? Because the Kohen Tomei is not allowed to eat truma. That's all he needs is what? Herif Shem Shotzei Sakol Chavim after his tefillah, and he doesn't require a karbon. But as far as the taro level for achilas kodshim, which means kodshim is be'ah, for that he needs to bring a karbon. Okay, that's one point that I wanted to share with you, which I think really sheds a light here. The Gemara in the Havmina thinks v'tayer, that even in Truma, like any other kodshim, you need v'tayer tar gavra. Means he's got to bring his karbon. And the Havmina, the Gemara, makes a lot of sense now. Because if we're saying that the reason why he can't eat kodshim, meaning kodshim is be'ach, until the bringing of his karbon is because his tara process is incomplete, and the karbon is the clincher of his tara, then maybe we should assume that he can't eat Truma as well. Because Truma is also kodshim. In fact, in this very pasuk that we're studying, the Torah classifies and describes truma as kodshim. And the answer is that if v'tayer meant v'tayer gavra, that he has to actively bring his karbon in order to clinch his tara v'tayer gavra, just like for kodshim, he's v'tayer gavra, he has to bring his karbon to be v'tayer himself, so too for truma, then it should have said v'yitaher, that he should do an active bringing of a karbon in order to clinch and complete his tara. Since it says v'toyer, it means passively, it just means the passage of time is enough to clinch his tara. Now, on daf beis amid beis, we have a braisa with five different shitos in the Tanoim as to when you're allowed to recite Kriyat Shema and when is considered Ubishalbacha, the time for Ubishalbacha. Now, these five Tanoim really fit into three basic categories. The middle category is simple, and that identifies the time of Ubishabach as Tzeisako Chavim. And that's the Tan of Abishna, who says, Ne'emasai, Mishoshakonim, Niklosim, Lechel, Bichumasam. And in this Brisa that records five Shitas to Rabbi Yoshua, says, Mishoshakonim, Mituharim, Lechel, Bichumasam. That's called Tzeisako Chavim. We have one group of Tanoim that identify the time for Kriyat Shema Shel Arvus as earlier than Tzeisako Chavim. And that's Rabbi Eliezer in this braisa, and Rabbi Meir in this braisa. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Mishasha Kidesh Hayom B'Arve Shabbosos, which is identical with Shkiyas Achama. And Rabbi Meir says, Mishasha Kohenim Tovlim Lechol B'Trumosos. So the Kohenim would delay that Tvilah till the end of the day, when they knew that they had a Yom Naki, and then right before, you know, Tzeisako Chavim, they would jump into the mikvah. Then we have a third shita, school of thought in the Tanoim, that would place this moment of time after Tzeisako Chavim. And that would be the Tana of the first Braisa, who says, Mishasha ani nichnas lechol pito b'melach, so that you know the ani gives a full day of work, and until finally he's ready for his meal, it's already after Tzeisako Chavim. Rabbi Hanina in this last price amongst the five says, Mishasha ani nichnas lechol pito b'melach. Again, that's later. And Rabbi Meir in the second braisa says, Mishosh b'nei Adam nechnosim lechol pito b'erev Shabbosos, when the meal was already set up on Erev Shabbos, then they're going to eat a little bit later after Tzeis HaKochav. So you could imagine, for example, this time of the year, that Tzeis HaKochavim is what? Let's say 5:15, 5:30. No one's ready to really eat their meal. So what they do is they prepare the meal on Erev Shabbos and they're going to eat their meal a little bit later on after Tzeis HaKochavim. Now, again, we would need a lot of time, maybe in a shir, at a different occasion, to figure out these three shitos. But let me just focus your attention on the shita of Rabbi Eliezer in this last brisa that identifies the time of Shkia Sachama, which is the time of Kiddush Hayom of Shabbos. That's when Shabbos enters. But Yesh Lachkar, I would formulate the following two possibilities. What does Shkia Sachama accomplish here? The Kohen needs Bi'ah Shemesh. Okay, that maybe he had because of Shkia. But what's Vitayr here? Vitayr, we say that the day has to be completely gone. It's a lapse, and that requires Tzeis HaKochavim. That, I understand, is the Shita, the Tanavat Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua and the Braisa, etc., etc. But this particular Shita, which we identify as Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir, and we're talking before Tzeis HaKochavim, and if Rabbi Eliezer is identifying as Mishosh HaKidosh HaYom V'Arvei Shabbosos, you're talking about Tchilas HaShkia, I mean, that's a little bit of a pella. And the possibility exists, and this, we have to go through the Meiri, we don't have time for it right now, that what Shkia Sachama means in Rabbi Eliezer's frame of reference in this last brisa is what's called Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila, Yesh Lachkar. What is the period of time of Bein HaShmoshos? Is it a period of Sofek, that means from sunset up until Tzeis HaKochav, we're not sure if the day, it's a Sofek Yom, Sofek Lail, if the day is still persisting or we've already entered into night? If you take a look at Rashi on Daf Beis Amid Beis, approximately two-thirds down from the top or a little bit more than one-third up from the bottom, Yishah, Shekidish Hayom Biarve Shabbosos, Rashi says, Hainu Bein HaShmoshos Sofek Yom V'Sofek Laila. Keva the Sofek Hu, Kidish Hayom V'Sofek. This Rashi is one of the most difficult Rashis you'll ever encounter. We're talking about a Kohen who wants to eat Truma. And Rashi says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, he can eat Truma Mishosh Kidish Hayom Biarve Shabbosos because Kiddush Hayom depends upon Vada. You need Vadai in order to allow you to do Malacha. We're in a period of Sofek. So now we're going to apply the principle of Keva the Sofek who Kiddush Hayom is Sofek. So you're not allowed to do Malacha during this period of time after Shkia on Erev Shabbos because otherwise you're involved in the Sofek of an Issa Skila because it's a Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila. That's what Rashi says. What does that have to do with Kohen? I mean, you want to be Matir a Kohen who is enjoined with an Iser Lav from eating Truma as long as he's Tomei, allow him to eat Truma from Tchilas Hashkia Midin Sofek? Pukfaker, the opposite should be true. We should apply the principle of Sofek L'chumra. And this is the Kasha of all the Achronim on Rashi. But Yesh Lachkar, there could be another way of learning Bein HaShmoshos, and the question is whether we can put this into Rashi. This whole concept of Sofek makes no sense. Sofek means if you and I don't know what the law is. Well, now we're talking about the Torah. Does the Torah define this period of time as Yom or as Laila? You can't tell me that's a Sofek. What do you mean? The Torah doesn't know whether it's Yom or Laila? So I heard from the Rav, Zichrono Livracha, and it's written up in the Yahrzeit Joshua's, that there are two psukim at the beginning of Bereishis. Each gives us a different definition of what's Yom and what's Laila. On the one hand, the Torah says Vayerev Vayivoker, which means that there's some sort of definition of Yom and Laila. On the other hand, the Torah says that God created two Ma'oros, Lurakia, Lahavdil Ben Yom Ve'en Laila, that it all depends upon the Ma'oros. Now, when does the sun rise and when does it set? Meaning right before it sets. That's called Yom. Do you follow my point? Because the Torah says that the Ma'oros will determine whether it's Yom or Laila. So if we focus our attention on the Chama, on the Shemesh, then the very moment that the sun dips below the horizon, which is called Shkia, at that moment it's no longer day, it's now night. But yet the Torah has another definition of Yom V'Laila, and the Torah says, if you open up the Sefer Bereishis, you'll see it says, V'lachoshech Karo Laila. Now what happens between Shkia and Seis? Although the sun is dipped below the horizon, right, it's astronomical sunset, but on the other hand, there's reflected light on the horizon. You can see a whole patch of light on the horizon, so it's not yet choshech. So if Soloveitchik said that this suffering that we're talking about in Beit HaShemeshes is not what you and I think of and associate with suffering. This is a suffering that's built into the halach itself. There are two definitions of Yom and Laila, and both are correct. And for certain dinim, we'll use this definition. For other dinim, we use others. For example, in terms of kodshim, we have a principle called Dam Nifsal B'Shkia Sachama. So the very moment the sun sets, and now we're depending on the Ma'oros, that already determines that it's Laila, and you can no longer be Zorik the Dam. On the other hand, there may be other definitions of Yom V'Laila which don't depend upon the Ma'oros, but depend upon Choshech and Laila, Choshech and Or. Now, what's going on here, I think, in Rabbi Eliezer, in this Braisa, is that he's saying the following. That as far as Tchilas HaShabbos is concerned, which generates Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos, all we need is to terminate Chol. It's no longer Friday, it's now Shabbos, with Kedushas Shabbos. In order to establish that it's no longer Friday, we have to know that the day of Friday has terminated. For that, all we need is Shnei Ama'oros Berkiyah Shamayim, meaning that the Shemesh has set. Once the sun is set, it's no longer Friday, now it's Shabbos. Comes along Rabbi Eliezer and he says the same applies in the case of the Iser Tamei, in the case of a Kohen, to eat Truma. That the Torah says Uba Hashemesh. Why is the Torah emphasizing Uba Hashemesh? To tell you that the day is past. What kind of day is past? The day of Tuma. The day of Tuma is past. Vitayer means Vitar Yoma, but not, says Rabbi Eliezer, Tzeisak Kol Chavim, but the Vitar Yoma of Uba Hashemesh. You now are entering into the state of Tara. Again, we pointed out before that the Tara is not complete as far as Achilas Kodshim is concerned. For that, you need Tar Gavra, you need to bring the Karma the next day. But as far as Tar Yoma is concerned, the Tar Yoma is immediate with Uba Hashemesh, meaning that you have entered into a new day such that the day of Tuma has already passed and therefore you're allowed to eat Truma. Perhaps we can fit this into Rashi. Rashi saying that this concept of Suffolk, which means that there are two definitions of day and night, can apply in the case of Kiddush HaYom once we complete the day before, meaning Friday, as the day of Chol. We're no longer in the Tchum of Chol. We've entered into the Tchum of Shabbos. And that's what Rashi means when he calls it Suffolk. He doesn't mean it's Suffolk because we don't know whether it's day or night. But rather, we can use that Suffolk to establish that it's already night as far as Kedusha Shabbos is concerned. And Rabbi Eliezer believes that just like in the case of Shabbos, once you terminate the Yom HaShishi, and that's because the sun is set, I don't have to wait for nightfall. I don't need Laila in the sense of Choshech. All I need is Laila in the sense that it's no longer Yom, because the Ma'or HaGadol is no longer on the horizon. We're not interested in light and darkness. And at that moment of Shkia Sachama, we can apply the principle that it's no longer Yom, and therefore the day is now endowed with Kedusha Shabbos. And so too Rabbi Eliezer says, as far as Tumah, which is the opposite of Kedusha, we have the same mechanics, that if it's no longer Yom, and the reason for that is Uba Shemesh, then the day of Tumah has passed, and therefore he's allowed to eat his Truma. Okay then?
Does this connect to the various, the discrepancy between Sephardim and Ashkenazim, vis-a-vis a Brit Mila that Ben Ashmosh is the